It is a noisy world. In fact, as I speak to you, there is a jet plane going overhead nearby. We live very near the airport here. And so when jets take off, it's a real nice time to dry your hands if you're like one of those workers on the runway. And a jet takes off, you could use it as a hand dryer. Or you could just go into your average restroom today and use the air dryers there. Once again, yes, this is Martin Zender. Welcome to another week of the Revelation series. I'm still on this clamor business. It's a noisy world. But today, I want to introduce you to a new kind of clamor that you're very familiar with, and that will also be eliminated on the new earth. This is astounding revelation I'm giving you today. Why not? After all, it's the Revelation series. And this goes so well with that amazing verse from Paul, who gives us the key to happiness in 1 Corinthians 10:11. When he says, the consummations of the eons have attained to us. Not only have they attained to us in the sense that we understand the end game, we are being told the end game, we're being shown the treasure map, we know where the X is, we know where the cash is, we know where the great treasure is located, and we're opening the treasure chest. And we're imbibing of things that won't happen in time until the ends of the greatest eons, eons 4 and 5. In fact, when Paul says the consummations of the eons have attained to us, I believe he's speaking specifically of eons 4 and eons 5. As I like to call, this is a technical term, watch out, the good eons. Yes, in theological circles, we commentators like to call these the good eons. Eons 4 and 5 are the good eons. And the bad eons are eons 1, 2, and 3. I like to use this theological term, too. I like to call them the crappy eons. And we're well located on the Aeonian calendar, folks, because we're approaching the crisis between the good eons and the crappy eons. Eons, or should I say the crappy eons and the good eons. I haven't said this in a long time. Some of you are new to the show, so I will say this. That not only are we approaching the end of an eon, eon 3, and in God's plan, there are 5 eons. If you need a rudimentary explanation of the eons, please go to my website, martinzender.com. Go to articles, and you'll find an article on the eons. I forget what it's called, but it's very good, and it's succinct. And you can also go to concordant.org and look at their expositions, and you'll find information on the eons. So what a location we are in right now on the Aeonian calendar, just like those mall maps. I go to a mall, I don't know where I am, and so you see a sign that says you are here, and you go, oh, I'm next to Auntie's Pretzels and Macy's, whatever. Oh, now I know where the hell the exit is, because I want to get out of here, but I don't know how. So you're here. So we are located not only at the end of an eon, but at the end of a series of eons. It's huge where we are. We're not only at the end of eon 3, but we're at the end of the wicked eons, or as I say, the crappy eons, eons 1, 2, and 3. Eon 1 was the eon that no human lived on. It was a earth created to be inhabited. It was disrupted by malevolent spiritual forces, and the earth became a chaos and vacant, Genesis 1:2. Then the Spirit of God moved upon the waters and the darkness of the chaos and the vacancy, and he brought forth the land once again, and this became the second eon, and this is the eon that Adam was formed upon. Adam then occupied that eon with his lovely wife Eve, their lovely children, their progeny, up until the flood of Noah. and people began to sin as an occupation. They studied sin. They became sinologists, and the whole world was a cauldron of missing the mark, except for eight people, which is Noah, his three sons, and their wives. And there was a worldwide flood. Yes, there was. It was worldwide. It was not a local disturbance. And all the geological evidence on this earth, you see those layers on the mountains and on the Grand Canyon walls. That's not the result of millions and millions of years in these fictional ages invented by geologists, sponsored by, of course, the Smithsonian Institution, and distributed via the National Geographic Association. People, these so-called investigators, scientists, as they like to call themselves, they can't even tell you what the weather's going to be tomorrow with any degree of reliability or accuracy. And so they're telling us that the Mesozoic age was 1,600,000 years, and then the Paleozoic age, and they have all these fictitious ages as if every layer of demarcation on these canyon walls or mountains indicates a time period, like the rings of a tree. It's not that way. It's evidence of catastrophes that have come suddenly and have deposited layers of silt on these mountains. They found ancient fossils at the top of these strata, which indicates that these trilobites and these other ancient shark teeth that have been fossilized, these all just were destroyed at the same time as the stuff at the bottom layer. It's all evidence. True science will back up the evidence of worldwide disaster that has come suddenly. This is good to know, because the end of this eon will come suddenly. The ends of eons come suddenly. It's not a gradual decaying, just as the coming of the truth is not a gradual reformation. It's not a gradual education. It's ba-boom, ba-da-bing, ba-da-bang, and you have it. And it's the same today with realization in Christ. Many of you are coming to this almost instantaneously. You're getting in 10 minutes what it took me 10 years to understand, and I'm happy for it. I don't begrudge you that. People are in the fast lane. I've told many people that. I said, look, and I encourage them by this. I said, God has you in the fast lane. Anyway, when Noah got off the boat, he stepped onto a new eon. That's the eon we're in. Paul calls it in Galatians 1:4 the present wicked eon. It's a wicked eon. It's horrible. It's the worst eon. How do I know? You're seriously asking me how I know? This is the eon that crucified the Son of God. This is the eon that Paul says will wax worse and worse and worse, and the last days, perilous periods will be present, and we're in these perilous periods. This eon will end. The crappy eons are about to end. See, so we're at the end of the crappy eons ending. So look, even though you're going through hell in your life, you're just at the tail end of the crappy eons, and now all the good stuff's coming. So the consummations of the good eons have attained to us, and we have this treasure chest. Back to clamor. One thing that's going to be eliminated on the new earth is clamor. He's going to get rid of all the clamor, all the noise that disquiets us, the jet engines, the cars, the motorcycles without mufflers, the hand dryers with jet engine capabilities, drying your hands in 8 seconds, but disquieting you because of their raucous sound. It just, pots and pans, all these things eliminated. But not only that, this is the point. The interior clamor. This is the new clamor. This is the new revelation I'm giving you. There is so much interior clamor in our heads. I like to play, if people want to know like what I think about all day, this is what I do. I say, play the Beatles track. Go to Tomorrow Never Knows. And I want you to do that. If you want to know what goes on in Zender's head every day, that guy just must think constantly. Oh, yes, I do. There's much clamor going on. And what I have to do is call the good clamor from the bad clamor, which is sometimes difficult. I have it like a sieve in here, like a coffee filter of the mind that runs the water through, keeps the grounds in the coffee filter, and puts out the good stuff. At least that's what I hope happens. I try to buy good coffee filters for my mind. I try to import good thinking processes. Look at the Beatles. It's from their album. Where's Nancy Holland over here when I need her? Revolver, thank you. Jeez, Revolver. Tomorrow Never Knows. Look at that. Listen to that song. That's my brain all day. That's my brain all day. Clamor. but I'm learning to filter it and control it because of this verse that the consummations of the eons have attained to us. Eon 5, with all its glorious lack of clamor, is beginning to, now that I am imbibing of this truth and trying to apply it to myself now, the Spirit of Christ in us can actually begin to coffee filter your mind. Run it through the Word of God. Run your thoughts, run your clamorous thoughts through the Word of God, and don't be so hard on yourself. That's a lot of things. A lot of the damage that clamor does to us is that we're hard on ourselves, and we have no discipline as to what we think. And so these things that we blame ourselves for, these thoughts that we have that are wicked, evil, disruptive, we tend to let those go through the filter. The filter should be the love of God. The filter should be the justification. All these things that are going to come to the fifth eon in reality are ours now in spirit. And so I want you to run these things through the filter. Run these tumultuous, cantankerous, and calamitous even thoughts through the filter of knowing God loves you no matter what. And I'm going to read you a letter tomorrow sent to me by a brother in Christ. I had every intention of reading it today, but I'm looking at my time and I've already gone on and on about this. But we've got an overview of the eons. I've reminded you of a great verse that the consummations of the eons, especially the good ones, have attained to us, and that God is going to eliminate. Well, you might be doing that. There might be a new form of elimination called elimination. I don't know. But he's going to eliminate and eliminate clamor on the new earth. And I had the revelation yesterday that I'm bringing to you today that this clamor not only includes all those exterior things that I went on and on about, lawnmowers, hand dryers, pots and pans, forks and knives and plates. He's going to eliminate that. But the interior clamor, the interior tomorrow never knows type Beatlesque cacophony of events, thoughts, frustrations. He's calming it all down. He's calming it all down for you today. Even the very worst things that you do or have done, even in your justified state, even in your state of knowing God. And you may be saying to yourself, Martin, I know God. Why do I still have these thoughts? As I say, there are parts of you that are not at peace. I'm with you there. But one of the greatest revelations I've received is that because the consummations of the eons and the great things that we'll obtain at the end of the good eons have attained to us, I can now be at peace with not being at peace. You see, Christians are always struggling to find peace. They're struggling to find this nirvana state of contentment. Here's the truth of that matter. You'll never find perfection this side of immortality. But this is what you can find. You can find the ability in your own mind to be at peace with not being at peace, and to be content with discontent. And as I've told you before, to not worry about the fact that you worry. This is part of calming the clamor that's in our own heads. Now, on the fifth eon, on the fifth earth, in the fifth eon, you won't be able to think these thoughts if you're on the earth. When we're snatched away, all your clamorous thoughts will be gone instantly. That's going to happen. I love this phrase. I'm going to give you a quote from Scripture. John is writing in verse 5 of Revelation 21, and he is saying, write, for these sayings are faithful and true. He says this right after he talks about the elimination of death, mourning, clamor, and misery, that these things will be no more. The former things passed away. Wow, sounds too amazing to be true. And God must have known that John was thinking that. It's like, this sounds pretty fantastic. Are you kidding me? Is this really? The Holy Spirit says, hey, shut up, because Right, for these sayings are faithful and true. And who's telling him this? God, the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God. So these things are true beyond a shadow of a doubt. That being the case, why not think on these things today? This is a figure of speech known as prolepsis, where we're calling what is not as though it were. And we're to think on things that will literally happen. And these things are spoken of as so dependable, so absolutely coming, so absolutely true that you can make book on them. You can bank on them. And so you can now think about them ahead of time, anticipate the reality even while the thing hasn't happened yet, because the mere anticipation of it and the mere ruminating upon it will start to make it true in fact. Because as a man thinks and as a woman thinks, so is he. Your mind is that powerful. You can Your mind's going to think about things anyway. Why not have it think upon good things? Why not have it think upon godly things, things that are going to happen? And I'm not saying you become perfect. I'm just saying you deal with the imperfection, right? Yeah, you don't worry anymore about not being perfect. That's the magic bullet that can kill your deepest fears and worries.